Can you be good without God? And the answer is no, so I suppose I don't need to preach the sermon. Maybe we could just all go home at this point. But the answer is no. And we're going to look at one of the verses we read. I'm giving you two versions of the Bible. Some of you might have the English Standard Version, some of you might have the NIV. There's not much difference, but there is one difference, and that is that the ESV translates the word for flesh as flesh, but the NIV translates it as sinful nature. We're going to go with the ESV, really, as we work away today, because if you've got an NIV, the footnote says flesh. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature, and there's a wee footnote saying flesh. And every time it occurs, it says flesh. I'm not sure it's helpful to speak of sinful nature, because I have no idea what a sinful nature is. But I do know what flesh is. For I have the desire to do what is good, says Paul, but I cannot carry it out. But here we are. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my flesh. I had a conversation with someone the other day, someone who used to come to church here, does no longer do so, just kind of drifted. And in the course of the conversation, we pretty much came to this question, because the idea was, you know, I was saying, well, you know, come back, because this is a place where we learn to love, we learn to love one another, to love our neighbour. And he said, can you do that without God? And actually it stung me to the heart, but just to think of someone with a long history of church attendance saying that. As though, I mean, basically as to saying, can you be a Christian without God? Can you get to heaven without God? Can you get to God without God? And it's the idea, I suppose, that is so current today, that you can be whatever you want to be, and that human beings are basically good. And all we need is a little tweaking here and there. But we're going to look into this question realistically. And to do that, the Bible helps us. We're going to think about three things. We're going to think about our equipment, our experience, and our escape. So there we are. Our equipment. So in the quest to be good, in the quest to try to live a life pleasing to God, this is our equipment. This is it. It's what you've got. And Richard's smiling here. I'm just thinking how Richard looks at equipment and knows the specifications, you know, knows the parameters, what it can do, what it can't do. The human body's the same. And the human mind's the same. It's got specifications, if you like. Specifications of the body, you know, certain amounts of strength, certain capabilities that it has for moving around, and for, you know, it can be trained in various directions to achieve what to other people seem extraordinary things, but really it's just what the body is capable of. You know, that the body can run up to a certain speed, the body can jump up to a certain height, or whatever. The body has capabilities, and it has sensory abilities. We can see, we can hear, we can touch, taste and smell, and we have a sense of our bodies, where they are, and balance, and so on. Lots of abilities. But actually, they're not really very spectacular at all. Not really. They're very small abilities. Then we've got a brain. And the brain, you know, whatever you think of your brain, and its ability to think might frustrate you all the time. You can't remember things. You can't do that, figure out that sum, or get the answer of that, or whatever it is. Sometimes you can, sometimes you please yourself. But again, praise, a pretty limited instrument. The problem is, though, that the two are not separate. The brain and the body. This is a problem. When we think, we feel. We think and we feel what we think. Feelings in our bodies arise whenever we're to think about something we like, something we desire, something we're afraid of, something we're looking forward to. So many things. I mean, there'd be many things, maybe this evening, maybe your dinner, maybe, something you're looking forward to seeing, being with, a phone call or whatever. All these things, they have feelings with them. And feelings, because we like some feelings and we don't like other feelings, those feelings pool our thoughts, they bias our thoughts in different directions. And those feelings don't have morality at all. Like, you know yourself, you can sometimes feel really good about doing something bad. Like getting revenge, for example. And you can sometimes feel really bad about doing something good. You know, some sacrifice that God's calling you to make. So the feelings are pulling you one way to do the opposite of what you feel, or what you think, rather, that you should be doing. So we're not dissociate from our bodies when we think. It's not like driving a car. You know, you don't feel your car. Although, you know, some people might say, oh, I can kind of, you know, some people have that sense of the car more than others. But your central nervous system is not connected into your car so that you feel the tires, so that you feel the engine. You can feel how hot the engine is, how hard the engine's working, how hard that pothole hit your damage your tire, or that impact damage your vehicle, or you know how little fuel there is left in your tank, and all these sort of things. Imagine if you were spinally wired into your car, you would drive differently. Definitely, you would drive differently. You'd be very, very careful about hard hitting impacts. You'd be very, very conscious of things like you know. The car's tired, or something's wearing out, or whatever. Imagine if you had that. You would drive totally differently. You would drive to protect the car. We don't do that. I mean, sometimes we can put the foot to the metal, and we push the car way beyond. The car's struggling. You can hear the engine screaming, and the, you know, the car is actually, if cars could suffer, the car would be suffering. If we could feel that, it would make us drive very differently. And so, when we think, we are tied into our bodies. And everything we think evokes feelings. That's our equipment. Body and mind, but the two are not separate. We feel things about what we think. So that's the first thing. You might think, well, where did Roddy get that from the text? Well, keep with me. Our experience. So, we go out from here, maybe let's say we go for a walk down to the waterfront. Be a lot of people probably milling around tonight. Tourists perhaps, maybe not, I don't know. Or you go and walk across the bridge. And you think to yourself, well, I've just been at church, I'm going to go out and I'm going to love God. I'm going to really love God tonight. I'm going to love God for the rest of the evening. And you feel perhaps to yourself, I can do this. I can love God. And I'm going to love my fellow man. And you set off down through Kyle with this great beaming beneficence of what you're going to be like. You're going to be such a good person. Then you see someone. Usually people. People have feelings connected with. Someone who owes you money. Someone who bullied you at school. Someone who just looks really sad and pathetic. Someone you lust after. Someone who, for whatever reason, just annoys you. Someone is doing something they should not be doing. All of these things evoke strong feelings in you. The flesh pulls your thoughts. And now you're thinking about how you really want to get that money out of that person, don't you? Or perhaps, some of you will know what I mean by this, you're thinking about that beautiful person. And your thoughts have just crossed a line. And so on. Oh, I was supposed to be loving God. I was supposed to be loving my fellow man. Very soon, every day, we realize the truth of these words. I have the desire to do what is good. This is Paul the Christian speaking. I have the desire to do what is good. I love the law. I believe God's commands are perfect. I love that he commands us to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. I love that Jesus commands that we should love one another as he has loved us. I think that's wonderful. But I can't carry out because I just saw that person doing something bad. That person who hurt me in the past. I just saw that person behaving as they are. And I thought things because I felt them. I felt them because I thought them. And my feelings dragged my thoughts. What I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not do. I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. You set out this evening to be closer to God. You were going to love God tonight after this service. But actually, now, you are further from God. And the reason you're further from God is coming back to the passage we're homing in on. Nothing good lives in me. That is in my flesh, my sinful nature. It is just the word for flesh. It's just the regular word that's used throughout the Bible, or through the New Testament, for flesh, meaning body. We know it means body because, for example, Paul describes the flesh here, and then in verse 24, for example, he says, who will rescue me from the flesh? You know that's what he's wanted to say, but actually puts it differently. Literally, he says, the body of this death. Body. Body, flesh. So these bodies of ours, this equipment, you know, we can have great intentions with it. We can dedicate our bodies to do good. And we can do our very best. We can dedicate to good causes. And there are lots of factors will come into play. Maybe you've had a great upbringing and with a lot of discipline in it. And maybe you've not actually gone that far astray in your life because you had great parenting to keep you in a kind of good place. And you've had a good community around you to do the same. Or maybe you've been totally off the rails and maybe there are things you really have to be just stay so far away from, because as soon as you go anywhere near them, the desire for them will be so strong that you will be pulled down very quickly. The reality is, however good or bad or upbringing, whatever, the reality is that this equipment, because of the feelings that come through the things that we think, the things that we see, the things that we hear, the things we imagine, the things that we conjure up in our own minds, this body, this flesh, is a problem when it comes to obeying God. You look around the world, where do you see a single man, woman, or young person getting closer to God by the flesh? Where do you see it? Depends what you define closer to God. By closer to God, I mean knowing the joy of God's presence. Knowing the joy of fellowship with God. Where do you ever see anyone getting that? No one ever gets that by the flesh, by the equipment that we have. Instead, what we do is, without God, or even as Christians sometimes, we live by our feelings. We follow our hearts, as they say these days, and we forget that there is, in our flesh, nothing good. Good doesn't live in me, says Paul. That is, in my flesh. No good. No good. Even my most noble thoughts are hitched to my flesh and the feelings of the flesh. And Paul tells us where that takes us. The acts of, and again it's the word flesh, NIV is translated as sinful nature, but it's just body. The acts of the body are obvious. If you let your body, which is hitched to your mind, with all its feelings, take you where it wants to go, top of the list, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfishness, feel the feelings that all of these things have. They all create feeling in your body. Dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. That's the flesh. Now you may be saying, well, I don't go that far, Roddy, I'm not that bad. But even take one step in the direction of any of these things. You may be 1,000 steps away from the orgy, but one step, you're further from God already. That's what the flesh does. It's true for everyone. And it's true for Christians. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight, in my mind, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and make me a prisoner of the law of sin, at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. What a wretched man I am. Well, if you are with me so far and you follow me and you say, yes, Roddy, I mean, it's only what the Bible teaches. But is it your experience? Well, yes. Doesn't mean that you've necessarily, you know, gone into the worst excesses of the flesh and followed the desires of the flesh to their completely self-indulgent extremes. But just go one step with the flesh, and it's a step away from God. And it's so easy to do that before you've even noticed that you're doing it. You could be singing a psalm tonight, and you've gone off in a wee wander for 10 seconds, and you're in the flesh. The flesh has made you desire to think about something, made the thought about something more desirable draw on you. And suddenly, oh, get back there. You thought about Psalm 51 and the circumstances of Psalm 51. Just a step in that direction, and you had to draw back. It's like that. Living in the flesh. And so what we need, what Paul is so desperate for here, is an escape. Because we are doomed if all we are is a brain and a body. We are doomed if we're left to the equipment that is our humanity. You cannot be good without God. And as I prepare this, I realise, you know, I need to extend this, so we'll come back to this next evening I'm preaching. But I don't want to leave you here. So leave you here. Well, wretched men and women. It's not a good place to be. And of course Paul cries out, who will rescue me from the body of this death? This death that is, knowing the law of eyes can't do it. So the law actually condemns me because I know what it wants, and I try to do it. I set off down the street. I'm going to love God. I'm going to love my neighbour. And before I know it, I'm not loving God, I'm not loving my neighbour, because my flesh has desired something, or my flesh has felt visceral about some behaviour that I've seen, or some person that's done the most horrible things, whatever. Now I've got all sorts of bad thoughts in my mind, I didn't keep the law of God. Unknowing the law of God made what I did even more culpable and serious. What a place. Wretched man. Who will rescue me? Who will rescue me? Because I cannot be good without God. And look around the world, and that is true. Doesn't matter what people are doing. Doesn't matter what their good intentions are. Doesn't matter what their humanity is. Doesn't matter what, you know, kind of good cause they're part of, what charity they're involved in. It doesn't matter what religion they're involved in. It doesn't matter whatever of the many, many different ranges of human behavior that they're involved in. Even the very best, the people who are lauded, the people who are exalted by society, they're in the flesh and they cannot please God. They can't, because they're full of feelings. They keep taking their thoughts away from where the law of God says they should be, into places where the law of God says they're transgressing. And they're dead. You cannot be good without God. Are you convinced of that? Because I'm not. Enough. Because I keep trying it. It's maybe after a little while, a few weeks perhaps, that I realise, oh, I'm back trying to do that again. Found that recently. Why am I still trying to serve God in the flesh? Why am I just relying on my own equipment? Serving my own strength, as we sometimes see. I need to be 100% convinced of this. I need to be convinced that I need another way. I need to know what Paul means in verse 8 of chapter 8, where he says, those controlled by the flesh cannot please God. If the flesh is all you've got, you cannot please God. I need to know that with all the fibers of my being. I need to know that when Paul says in Philippians 3:3, I put no confidence in the flesh. I need to feel that's true. I need to know it with all of my heart. I need to know that God can't just tell me what to do and I'll just go and do it. And I just can't do that. As verse 3 says in chapter 8, what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, that is the flesh, God did by sending his own son. What does that mean? Well, the law was powerless to make us good. The law was powerless to say, you shall not commit adultery. And I would say, right, I will not commit adultery. And I would go through my life and I would keep the law all the way, in body, in word, in thought, completely. It just doesn't happen. It can't happen. The being given a law is not enough. Because if I'm left to my own equipment, my body and my brain, I just keep getting pulled away with the passions, the desires, the visceral things, the fears, the anxieties of the body, all sorts of things. Bias my thinking away from God. We need to be convinced of this. And we need to be convinced of it completely. And sometimes God lets us see that this is true. Like Peter says to Jesus, you know, I will go with you to prison and to death. I will, you know, I will obey you, Jesus. I will follow you. I can do it. Jesus says, you know, you've got to be careful. Pray, please pray. The spirit is like the flesh is weak. Please pray. Oh, I need to sleep. My flesh is tired. I need to sleep. You need to pray. You don't need to sleep. Because you're never going to follow me unless you have something more than the body. It's So we need to seek another way. And we need to seek it with our whole heart, because in us, that is in our flesh, there isn't good. There isn't good at all. Or just put it another way. Verse 10 of chapter 8. Your body is dead because of sin. Paul is thinking of something different than Jesus, of course. Jesus said all this. John 6:63, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. We need to be persuaded of that completely. And we praise God. Actually, just to give me these verses, actually, these are great verses. Think about it. But then we move on. There is a question here, and there's an answer. Hallelujah, there's an answer. Who will rescue me when I know that 100% I will always fail if I set out to obey God with my own equipment as my only resource? I will fail. I will absolutely, certainly fail. It is guaranteed that I will fail to come closer to God. I will get further from God. And I will go further from God. And further and further. I will never get closer. I will keep going further. There's only one direction of travel for me. Always further from God. Right through my life I will get further and further and further away from God. As long as it's just me, I will get further and further from God. Who's going to rescue me? Is some other human being going to come along, some ordinary human being going to come along and say, hey, I've got a great idea. Now here's some science to try, or here's some homemade remedy to try, or here's someone to listen to, here's a great YouTube channel, here's some guru to listen to. But they're all in the flesh if they don't have Jesus Christ. And they're all getting further away from God with their YouTube channels and with their remedies and their suggestions and, you know, their lifestyle coaching or whatever it is. They're getting away from God. You're not getting closer to God in the flesh. Never. Thanks be to God. Who's going to rescue me from this? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, many think, and Christians, we all do this, we think, oh, Jesus is going to rescue me. Fantastic. So we go to Jesus and we listen to Jesus, and Jesus says, do this, I want you to love one another, I want you to forgive one another, and so on. And we think, great, right, there's what we need to go and do, and we'll go and do it, because Jesus said to do it. And it's the same problem again. It's just the same problem. It's not that we just need to listen to Jesus. It's not that we just need to read the Bible and try and do what it says. Because we get further from God all the time when we do that. If we are only in our own equipment, if we're only in the flesh, we just can't do it. And we can't do it because in us, that is in our flesh, no good thing. We need something else. We need the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the flesh, being unable to keep the law. The righteous requirements of the law can be fully met in us, but not by the flesh, but by the Spirit. We don't just need to be told what to do by Jesus and say, that's great, I'm a Christian now, Jesus tells me I'll go and do this, I should do this, and I'll go and do it. No, you're still getting further from God. You need the Holy Spirit. Just turned over a whole page I forgot I had to say here. So I'm going to cut it very short, and I'll keep most of it for the next day. I don't want to leave you here, though, because you need to know what this means. So you do need to be completely and absolutely persuaded what Paul says is right. that in your flesh there isn't any good thing. And that so long as you take anything God says and try and do it yourself, anything Jesus says and try and do it yourself, or even so long as you think, oh right, what I need is the Spirit, I better try and get the Spirit, and you try and get the Spirit by doing things to please God or to make yourself in some way acceptable to God, you're still not going to get there. Because you cannot get to God yourself. And that's where we need to remember that everything that God gives us is a gift. It's not wages. As Christians, it's not wages. It's not earned. It's not deserved. Everything God gives us is a gift. So, salvation is a gift. What we couldn't do by following God's law in the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. So he's the likeness of sinful man because he looks like one of us, but he doesn't sin. And he doesn't sin because, as we thought about quite a bit last year, a few weeks ago even, he was filled without measure by the Holy Spirit. So, salvation is a gift. And becoming a Christian, receiving the gift of forgiveness, is a wonderful thing to be forgiven, isn't it? It's wonderful to be forgiven. But it doesn't, in itself, help us to start getting closer to God in the things we do. It completely wipes the sheet clean. We're completely justified. We're completely accepted by God. But we've got to stop the flesh, because we'll just start going further away from God straight away from the moment we first receive God's forgiveness, unless we receive another gift. Being forgiven, remember, doesn't change the body or the brain. Doesn't change the body or the brain. We still can't do anything to get ourselves closer to God. So we need to receive the Spirit as a gift. And I want to elaborate on that more next time. But what's important for us to remember is this. When you receive forgiveness, you receive Jesus, you finally give up the flesh and you say, Lord, I can't do this. I need rescue from my wretchedness. Please have mercy upon me. When we come to that point and Jesus comes into our lives, we have a relationship now. God is our Father. And that is what we need to remember. Although the flesh has no good or no power to bring us to God, God is not looking to us to bring us to Him. He's not looking for us to find the resources within ourselves to bring us to Him or to keep us close to Him. Everything that's going to make that possible, you are going to get from Him as a gift. Everything. Yes, the forgiveness, the adoption into His family. And with the adoption, the Spirit of the Son of God, the Spirit of the Son, the Spirit of adoption. It's a gift. So, if you're going to come closer to God now, you're going to have to rely upon the gift of God. You're going to have to rely upon the grace of God. You're going to have to realize and keep this kind of poise in your life every day, moment by moment. The flesh is just not going to bring me to God. I need the gift of God. I can ask for the gift of God because He's my Father. I need the Holy Spirit. There's enough there for us to begin on with. But I'll leave you with a promise. I'll leave you with a promise. This is the promise of someone in a relationship with God, promise given to us. If you then, though you are evil, in your flesh there is no good thing, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Holy Spirit can get you closer to God. You can be good by the Holy Spirit. The righteous requirements of the law, as Paul says here, can be fulfilled in you who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So this is something you just need to keep on asking for, and you keep on receiving as a gift. You never earn it. Nothing you do ever makes you good enough to have it. It's something that is completely and absolutely without deserving, without merit. It's something that comes willingly from the heart of God to you. You need to live by the Spirit, or everything you do will take you further from God, even as a Christian. Everything. If you're relying on you being able to say, I'm going to do this, and off you go, the flesh will get the better of you, and you'll be further from God. You need to rely on your relationship with God. That you are his son or his daughter, and that because of that, he will give his Holy Spirit day by day, in every moment, for every need. But never try to earn it. Never try to do anything to make him come that makes you think, I earned this, or I deserved this, or I made him come. You didn't. Flesh doesn't bring the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes because of the grace of God and your relationship with him through Jesus Christ. So keep that poise. I can't do anything to come closer to God at all. God must do it all. Praise God. We'll leave it there. Let's bow for a moment and pray. Father, please help us to see these things clearly and take them to heart. Have mercy upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.